This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Good afternoon. It is so great to be with you again. I look so forward to Saturday at 4. It's just a great time for me. My heart pitter-patters, and I just want the best for you, and my heart just goes out to all of you, and I just want to have a great time today, and I really think we're going to today, because I have the most wonderful person. His name's John Townsend, Dr. John Townsend, with us today, and I'm sure most of you listening know who he is, but if you don't, I'm going to get into his bio. But before I do that, I'm going to change the way I do things a little bit, because I want you to get a pen and paper, and I want you to write down the phone number, because we really want to interact with you today. We want you to call in and talk about what's going on in your life. Phone number 888-995-5552. If you're in your car and you're driving, and let's say you're getting to the end of where you need to go, and you're at home, you don't have to stay in your car. I know some people tell me they do that, but you don't have to do that. You can go inside your home, and even if you're not in our area, you can click on kkla.com on the internet, and you can stream us, and all you have to do is click the little button that says listen live, and you can listen in the comfort of your home. So don't hesitate, hang in there, and give us a call. We're going to talk about the holidays. We're going to talk about, you know, what's been thrown your way this time of the year or during this year. And there's hope, because you know what, this year's going to end and New Year's going to begin, and we're going to talk about how to think about that and what we need to do to make this happen, to have a better year than the year before. So Dr. John Townsend is a psychologist, business consultant, leadership coach, and author. He's written or co-written 22 books selling 5 million copies, including the 2 million bestseller Boundaries. That book alone has helped me so much. Leadership Beyond Reason and his latest book, Where is God? He co-hosts the nationally syndicated daily radio program, New Life Live, which airs on 150 markets with 3 million listeners. I can't even imagine that. Wow, what an impact. He operates his own leadership coaching program in Orange County and in Dallas, Texas, with Dr. Henry Cloud. They operated their own healthcare company in 35 cities for 10 years. Dr. Townsend also speaks nationally and internationally on leadership, families, and personal growth issues. He, his wife Barbie, and their two sons live in Southern California, where he plays in a band. We're going to talk about that a little bit too. I haven't heard this band, but I really want to go listen. Dr. John Townsend, are you there?
I'm right here, Sue.
I am so glad you're there. Otherwise, I'd be right here alone, and that'd be scary. So, John, I can call you John, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, John, we were talking off the air, and we were talking about, you know, all the struggles. You know, I have some family members and some friends that the holidays just seem to be so hard for them. And there's new people that are going through divorces or have lost a family member or have health issues, and it's a sad time, and it's a recovery time, and we want to look forward. So what do we do with that, and where is God in all of this? And we want to move along. So how do we go about doing that?
Well, you're right. You know, there's this sort of kind of a gap between what people think Christmas should be and want to be, and then the reality often, Sue. And what we want it to be is a time of warmth and a time of worshiping Jesus and getting to know him better, and a time of being with family and people you love deeply, and sort of like kind of the connections that you may not have had time to have or whatever. There's a sort of really deep desire, I think, in everyone's inner heart that says, I want this Christmas to be the one where we all get along and the people I love the most are here. That's the ideal. That's the dream.
The warm and fuzzy.
And a really good warm and fuzzy, right?
Yes, the traditional, you know, those things that you build memories on and you have your whole family together and just is a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. But it's not that wonderful for everyone.
Right. That's the problem. There's a gap there. And the gap is in between a thing called the dream and a thing called reality. And in between reality and a dream is this space. And the reality is often some of the things that you described. Broken relationships, alienation, divorce, or I'm not married, here it is Christmas and everybody else is. Or we've got financial struggles and we've got home problems. Or somebody in my life has a drinking problem or a temper problem, or I've got a kid that's in trouble, or on and on and on. And so what we tend to do during the holidays, I think, Sue, is we try to kind of arm wrestle ourselves up into the dream and forget reality and put on a happy face and sort of don't let anybody know what's going on and kind of pretend it's okay. And basically it becomes this total energy drain of pretending things are really great and sort of smiling on the outside because we don't want to be high-maintenance people and we don't want to be complainers and we don't want to be negative. And we go through the holiday totally, totally isolated, totally unknown, totally unconnected, with nobody understanding how we're going. And basically for some people, Christmas is just this nightmare of let me just hold my breath and get through it so I can start off in the new year. And that's kind of why some people sort of like dread it coming because of that gap.
Yeah, it seems that the heart just hurts more during the holidays because of that dream and everything. And I read statistics and there is more suicides during this time just because people just don't want to go through it. They just want it to be over.
Right.
And so what are we going to do about that? How are we going to face the new year? What are we going to do different? How are we going to pick ourselves up and get through the season, first of all? How do we go about getting through the season and making it different for us?
Well, I always have three or four kind of basic selections or kind of on a menu of what to do, Sue, at this time to help people cope when I'm either coaching or consulting or counseling or whatever. And let me kind of go through those, and we'll just go through them one at a time because these are sort of like good, write-downable action steps that can really make the Christmas season and the coming New Year a really good one.
I love that. You are so good about that. And I've got my pen ready. I've got my paper ready. If you're just tuning in now, you are listening to KKLA 99.5. This is the Sue Free Show. And you can call and actually talk to us today. The phone number is 888-995-5552. I have a blog. It's blog.suefrees, one word, free. It's spelled like fries.com. Or you can stream kkla.com and listen live. Call us today. Please call us. Anyway, John, tell us, what are these steps?
Well, the first one is, and I always go back to how the Bible teaches us that desire is a good thing. You know, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Desire and passion are really good things for us. And so the first one is write down your Christmas dreams.
Okay.
Even if they're crazy, like, good. You know, my marriage will come back together, or I'll get a new job, or my kid will respect me, or whatever. You've got to put the dreams down so you have a place to go in your head.
Dream big. Dream big. Write them all down.
Dream big.
Right.
And then, secondly, write down in that list, what's reality say? Like, I get my passion onto the piece of paper, because we all have to do that. But then look at, okay, we've got, what is it, December 4th?
Yeah.
All right, what's 31 minus 4? So 27. So we've got 4 weeks-ish left. What is realistic in those dreams to happen? And then you're going to cross some off. Like, well, does it look like my, you know, kids are going to, I don't know, make straight A's, or my relationship might come back next year, but it won't be happening Christmas. And so that gives me room in my head to put things that are realistic. You got to put the dream first and then say, okay, which ones aren't reality? They're just dreams, and maybe God will do them next year. But it leaves me some white room, some white space to say, okay, now what is realistic? And that helps people to go, okay, there's things that I can, there's good things I can want. Maybe there's like a a person I haven't connected with for a long time that's a dear friend. Maybe I can invite him over. Or maybe there's some kind of a headhunter search that I can do to take some action on a job thing. Or maybe I need to go see a counselor or something like that. So look at that realistic thing and say, okay, now that would get me out of where I am, but it's also realistic. So that's the second thing.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Now, the third thing is, what are my resources and what are my obstacles?
Ooh. Now, do you have this on the left and the right-hand side of the page or just all on one page?
I'm sort of a spaghetti thinker, Sue.
What does that mean?
Well, you know how the old statement, when you got something like you want to start a business or start a uh-huh. ministry or something, you take a ball of spaghetti and throw it against the wall, and whatever sticks is what gets left.
Oh,
that's how you know all my Italian friends tell me when the spaghetti's ready.
All right, okay.
So I'm a spaghetti thinker. My whole thing is, don't put too much structure on your dream at first, because that cramps the creativity in the dream.
Okay.
Kind of puts God in a box. Uh-huh. So be unrealistic and messy and all that, and throw it on the wall. And so I just go put them all down there, and then the structure and the plan will come. But we tend to, especially Westerners, we tend to be sort of anal retentive too soon.
Hmm.
Like, how was your day? Well, here's 3 points. Well, can't do that. So go on the left side. You're just listing and listing. So I listed what I want, and then I did some crossing off, and I put some things that are realistic. And then the next thing I put was my resources and my obstacles. Maybe my resources are, I can take some energy that I was going to spend somewhere else. I've got how much time do I have? How much energy do I have? What kind of people do I have in my life that will help me?
Hmm.
How does God fit in here? What kind of money is this going to cost? So it's kind of a resource check, because no good thing happens without resources.
Right. That is true. Sometimes we don't know where the resources are going to come from also. So when you write this down, sometimes things come, and you don't even know that they're there, but they're
sure.
there.
Sure. That's how it happens.
Yeah, it does.
And then you put down the obstacles. Well, maybe the obstacle is, you know, I'm 30 pounds overweight, and when I get stressed, I eat too much during Christmas. Okay, that's an obstacle, so you just write it down. That's a reality. Or I can't find a date, and I'm single, and, you know, I thought by the end of 2010 I'd be in a significant relationship. So one obstacle is discouragement.
Mm-hmm.
So you write down kind of the emotional and physical obstacles so that you're facing the giants, because if you don't write them down, they get in your way. They trip you up because you haven't faced them and dealt with them.
Hmm. You know, this is in my business. We talk about I make this comment about how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? You know,
yeah.
And this is like that. It's like mm-hmm. you know, you've got this big thing out there called maybe depression or whatever, and now you're saying, okay, let's look at the positive side of this. What is it we can do? Because sometimes, you know, you have to look at what you have control over and what you don't. And what you're saying is to, you know, lay it all out there to say what would be the best thing that could ever happen, and what is holding me from getting that? And maybe that's not reality, and maybe this is reality. And so you're kind of telling people to actually take the time to focus on a goal, a planning of goals. And this is more than just for the holidays. This could be any time.
Well, that's kind of what I tell people to do during Christmas. It's a time not to kind of have the talk with, you know, that psycho person in your life. You know, people always say, this is the time to confront my mother or my abusive uncle. And I say, this is the worst time. You don't, like, sit down there at the Christmas dinner and say, pass the cranberry. By the way, you're a very abusive person.
Oh, ow.
It's a really bad idea.
Yeah, it really is. I can just imagine how that's going to turn out.
12 people sitting around there saying, oh, today we're going to talk about the UCLA game now.
Goodness gracious.
So it's not a time for that. It's a time, basically, and I'm just speaking as a psychologist now, it's a time for diagnosis and a plan. I'm diagnosing how 2010 went, and I'm looking at it, I'm going, this is the time where Jesus was born. This is the time where I want plans to be born. This is the time where something weak and small, like Jesus was weak and small, like a little dream in my head that didn't happen in 2010, I want it to happen in 2011. So I'm diagnosing how my year went and where my desires that have died went and my dreams that have died went. and I want to bring them back. And so it's just kind of a season of I'll get along with people. I'll go to parties and I'll go to church and I'll go serve and minister and find people with soup kitchens and, you know, help people who are struggling and do the giving back part. But in terms of my life, I look at it as, okay, this is a good time to sit back and kind of reflect, what was it like and what do I want to change? I think that this is better than waiting till 2011 and then saying, okay, now it's January 3rd, what's it going to be like? Go ahead and kind of get into your planning and diagnosing mood while you're in the Christmas season, because that's where all the expectations and the feelings are.
This is such great. Oh, I love what you're saying right now. I mean, I do this with the business. We finalize and we talk about, you know, what were the plans for this year? What did we accomplish? What are the new plans and what's the vision for the next year? And we're rolling it out.
What kind of a business would say, okay, it's January 2nd, what do we want to do?
Oh, boy. No. You got to do it before.
You got to do it before.
Because you want to have the whole year, and you have to start before the first to plan so that you're ready to go, you know, with all the gusto.
You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about the seasons. There's a time to plant, and there's a time to dig up, and there's a time to heal and kill, and a time to weep and laugh and dance and all this.
Uh-huh.
God built seasons into the world. And the Christmas season is really, really a season. And so something has to happen there that's different, that's going to happen somewhere else. And I think the most fruit-bearing use of that season is to say, let me reflect and look back and, there's things that I tell a lot of people, look where the pain is. What kind of things happened in 2010 that you want to go, I never want to feel this again. So what can I do now in December to get me ready to hit the ground running in January?
This is so good. You are listening to KKLA 99.5, The Sue Free Show, and we have a special guest, Dr. John Townsend, and he's talking to us about how to reflect over last year and what we're going to do differently next year, because, you know, if you want something different to happen, you got to do something different. But how do you know what different to do? You have to evaluate where you've been and what you're doing to know what you got to do different. And sometimes we need to seek help for that. Right, John?
That's right. You know, I wrote a book called Now What Do I Do?
You did?
Yeah.
I haven't read that one.
It's a system of how to address and solve any problem. It's a problem-solving book, which I use what the Bible says, as well as new theories of problem-solving that have come up. But, you know, God hasn't left us alone with a divorce or a weight problem or a drug problem or a depression or a can't-find-my-job problem. He's left us systems and ways to think about these. So it's just about taking it to him, being honest about it, and saying, I don't know what's next, and he takes us through it.
I have some really close people to me that they've been dealing with things for a long time, and things aren't changing. And part of that, I believe, is them, you know, because, you know, part of me says that you are where you are because you've chosen to be there. And a lot of the times I really believe that. But there are times when it's not that. Something happens or whatnot. But then we do have a decision on whether we're going to stay in that or we're going to pick ourselves up and pull ourselves out of it and move ahead. And having a plan or a vision or a mission or a dream is how you can stay focused on something positive instead of staying in the negative world, because that's where the devil wants us to stay, is in that negative world.
Yeah, you know, you can look at a family thing, or you can look at a dating thing or a marriage thing or a business thing, and you do have to parse out, okay, how much was caused external to me? You know, was there a global crash, or did I mess up, or did somebody else, you know, hurt me or control me or condemn me? There's always those three parts of, is it a broken world, or is it my sin or somebody else's sin against me? I mean, that's
right.
We got to parse that out.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, okay, here I stand now. Now where do I go? Even if it wasn't caused by me, I need to use all the resources God has and make the next step. That's how David did it. That's how Peter did it and Paul did it. We take the next step, no matter, even if it's not our fault. I remember in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, you know, if your brother has something against you,
leave the altar him.
Leave the altar. Don't wait for him to, you know, call you.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I think in our faith, Sue, we sort of spiritualize passivity. We make passivity into a virtue. And I think largely passivity is a vice. We'll say things like, well, I'm waiting on God, so why don't you have a date? Well, I'm waiting on God. Well, it's going to be the UPS man if you're just waiting on God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
How's the job going? Well, I'm waiting on God. Or, well, I believe that that is not what the Bible teaches about when we have a problem. We're supposed to do everything we can do, and God does everything only He can do. If you go to chapter 2, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's me doing my work. You're running your business. I'm running mine. We're running our relationships. I'm doing everything I can. And then it says, for it is God who is at work in you for His good pleasure. And God resources, and He's the cosmic chess master, and He puts people and situations and resources in place. So we never spiritualize passivity. We always work really, really hard at the same time saying, God, there's so much I can't do, and I need you to do it. That's the balance of successful people.
That is such... Oh, I love what you're saying now. I'm just getting revved up here because I just know people are hurting, and I get so frustrated with some of the people that I love so much that I feel like they're just staying there. And you said passivity versus contentment. There's a difference there. You know what? We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show and Dr. John Townsend on 99.5 KKLA.
What would happen if your computer network went down? It happens every day to businesses large and small. Imagine losing financial records, days of work, or even your entire client database. How damaging would that be? Imagine how different your life would be if you could find out about a computer disaster before it happened. With NSI's free network analysis, you'll get a technical specialist who will not only warn you about any possible threats or system issues, but you'll also get a full inventory of your systems along with a site performance evaluation. And at the conclusion of your analysis, we will sit down with you to explain exactly what we have discovered in terms that make sense. This valuable offer is available for a limited time to all business owners. Wouldn't you like to have peace of mind that your technology is stable and secure? Find out why hundreds of companies, like yours, choose NSI as their technology partner. Don't rely on luck. Let NSI help. To schedule your free analysis and see how NSI can help your business strengthen its technological base, call 866-671-0089, extension 204. That's 866-671-0089, extension 204. Call today and find out what it's like to have a true technology partner working for your business. Call 866-671-0089, extension 204.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freed Show.
So we're back, and we are with Dr. John Townsend. The phone number is 888-995-5552. This is the Sue Freed Show, and we are talking about, for some of you, how to get through the holidays and how to start the new year with a positive outlook, to look and reflect on the past year and what you're going to do different to make this year the best year ever. And I've heard that thing, to look back and learn, make a difference from this day forward. And this is the first day of the rest of your life. So what are you going to do from this day forward? So, John, you've given us some actual things, tools to do, to do the desire, the passion, to write all that down, then write down the reality of what can and cannot happen, and then resources and obstacles is what you've said.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's some people writing down these things. I know I did, and I'm going to do this. I already do this. But sometimes when we do things in one area of our lives, for instance, in my business world, I do these types of things in the business world, but maybe I don't transfer that whole idea over to my personal life. And maybe there's others that do that too, or don't do that. So I just find it interesting, the parallels of you know, what you're explaining us to do, that I wasn't doing that with my personal life. I do that at work all the time. So I find that amazing.
Yeah, we tend to be somewhat out of balance between business and personal. Nobody's 50-50 right in the middle of the dial. We're always a little bit one way or the other. That one of the tasks of growth and success and spiritual maturity is always bringing the needle back. Hey, by the way, I am putting us on our Facebook, so give me a phone number so I can tell my Facebook friends to call us.
Right. The phone number is 888-995-5552.
888-995-5552. Now we just got Facebook.
Right on.
Okay. The point is, I think that life has an order and a structure to it, whether it's my relational life. I mean, the three big areas of life are my relationship life, you know, friends, family, people that are close to me, or my personal life, which is my habits and my behavior and, you know, am I able to, you know, handle my finances right, or do I have an eating problem or a drug problem or a drinking problem, or do I have a depression or anxiety? And then the third area besides personal and relational is my performance life. Like how's my career, my dream, my goals, and where do I want to go in life? And I think that God gives us an order and a structure to those, and the rules are different, but there's a lot of similarity between the two. That's why when people go, okay, I've got a mission for my, you know, I want to be the next opera singer, I want to be own the next business, or I want to like be a missionary, people think normally about that in terms of, okay, I need goals, and I need a plan, and I need a vision. But we don't think normally about that in our personal life or often in our relational life. And we kind of need to. We need to think in terms of, you know, how many friends do I need? How many deep friends do I need? And do I have some friends I need to kind of, you know, exchange for a better model or, you know? But it's really worth thinking in terms of plans and goals, not in some sort of, you know, impersonal way, but what's working in my personal life and what's working in my relational life and what's not, and what can I do about it?
Very good questions. Very good questions. And you're suggesting that we write these down. You know, I have some friends that journal a lot, and they have prayer requests. And that's a way for them to see when God answers prayers, when prayers are answered, is because they write them down. And then they go back and read those. And it's something I have one person individually that journals all the time. And that person reads through at the end of the year, makes a purpose of reading through all of the journal to see just how many answered prayers there are. And I just find that amazing.
Let's take it a step beyond that from the journal and prayer part, because that's essential. But, for example, I have a leadership coaching program in Orange County, and I have one person who has a very detailed mission plan. She knows her organization. She knows it very well. She understands the dynamics of it. She's got strategies. But she never thought about having a mission for her family.
Hmm.
And what I want my family to look like. She's got young kids, and, you know, as they grow up, what's healthy look like? And so she's writing down what she'd like to see, but she's also writing down, how do I get there? Now, you could do this with your relationships, with marriage. You can do this with your, certainly with your finances. You can do it with your gifts. But when we go beyond, God, I want this, into, all right, what's it going to cost? What do I need to say no to? Do I need to drink four less lattes at Starbucks to afford this? Do I need to watch, you know, do I need to be Facebooking 3 hours less a week to afford this?
Ouch.
Isn't the average like 3 hours a day or something now?
My daughter laughs at me. I don't know why, but I really enjoy it. I just like to know what's going on.
Yeah, and it's fine. It's like anything else. It's fine, but are there other goals, relational goals, like, you know, I only have one deep, good friend who knows me and is safe for me and I can just say anything to. I need three by the end of the year. You're going to have to do more than pray about that.
Right.
You're going to have to say, where are the people? Where's the healthy people? Where's the Christians that aren't insane? Where's the people that will love me and not judge me, and start to make strategies? So planning and that kind of thing really helps relationally and personally and not just financially.
I liked what you said, Christians that love you and not judge you.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's so great. And, you know what, that brings me to another point about budgets. You know, people that, for instance, employees maybe that need a loan, but yet I see them buying Starbucks every day. Or, you know, just things like that. It's like, okay, if you want to have a savings, what are you going to do today that's going to make a difference at the end? Well, you figure out what your goal is at the end of the, you know, like a target with a, you know, arrow. You shoot the arrow and you hit the mark. Okay, what do you have to do to shoot the arrow and hit the mark? And when you're setting goals, you pick your goal and then you figure out and you work your way back and say, what can I do today to get closer to that goal? Or, for instance, the elephant that I talked about, one bite at a time. You've got this huge elephant, and then you have to chew it. You have to bite off one bite at a time. So what are we going to do today to get to that goal? And if our focus and our mission is to get to that goal, whether it's family, I loved what you said about what does healthy look like and how do I get there? And maybe we have to make sacrifices today because the bigger idea or the bigger goal is worth that delayed gratification today.
Absolutely. That's what Jesus said. You know, if you're going to build something, you've got to count the cost first. And when I think of, especially in the sort of relational end of life, a lot of people find out, you know, I tend to pick the wrong people. Like, one of the big problems I see when I'm coaching is that people confuse a ministry for a friendship.
Okay.
They will pick people that they are supporting and resourcing and guiding and encouraging and directing, and those will be their own support system, and it never runs that way. They don't pick people who are giving something back to them, who have the same capacity they have. They pick ministry. So they're sort of surrounded by dependency and need, and they're getting sucked dry, and they're getting drained, and they kind of don't know why they dread, you know, getting up in the morning, why they have no energy. It's because they have an empty gas tank. But they'll, when we're kind of like taking their life apart, they'll say, I know, I got lots of friends. And I'll say, tell me the nature of your friends. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really helping this person, and this person I'm mentoring, and this person, well, you know, she's divorced and she's really depressed, and this group over here. And I'll go, oh my goodness, I'm getting depressed listening to you. Where are the friends that are giving something to you? And they'll go, I don't have a lot. And you have to do some kind of spade work and go, am I confusing ministry with friendship, because we need both? That's a part of this whole planning and evaluating process to see, maybe I got to do something different next year.
Right, and that's balance. When I woke up this morning, that's the one word that came to me, because I was praying about it and I was saying, okay, Lord, what are we going to talk about? And for me, my biggest struggle right now is balance. I'm working a lot of hours. I just, you know, the holidays are here and I'm not ready for them, and I know I'm not alone. But, you know, balance in life, just balance in my personal life, balance at work. I just feel like we're chasing our tails all the time. And I'm like, okay, let's just pull back, stop, you know, be still and know. All those things. It's like, okay, I'm out of balance, so how do I get back in balance? And we have to pay attention to our bodies. We have to pay attention to what's happening to us. And we have to take a step back sometimes and just evaluate what's happening and decide what are the most important things. And that age-old thing of prioritizing is big. We have to figure out what's important and prioritize, and then maybe not go to one of those parties or say no to that person.
Well, that's when the rubber meets the road, is because we all love the dreams, but when we find out that there's a scale of economy, and the dream's going to mean I've got to say no to some good things for the great thing, that's really when it gets difficult for people. Is they'll go, I'll say, you know, I love your dream. You know, you're single, you're divorced, and you want to go out and, you know, you want to meet 5 really cool guys. Okay, that's your new goal for 11. And I say, yeah, that's really what I want. Great, I'll pray about it. Great, let's pray about it. Blah blah blah. Get that done. And then I'll say, this is going to take some. It's going to take some, you know, some RAM out of your time. What do you mean? Well, you're going to have to take time off of your own, you know, 3 committees at church, and you're doing what's the biking thing when you're at the gym and you bike the really high-end biking that brings your...
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know what it's called.
You're in spin class.
Yeah, spin. That's
also
it.
You're in rock climbing class. Also, you're in, you know, I don't know, you're in 3 orchestras or whatever, and you're going to have to take time to go find places where there are healthy guys and be in the same place with those. And then they start saying, I've got to have less time with my mom and dad or with some of my friends or some of my activities. Yeah, this is what it's going to cost. And this is where you really, I think this is where we really need our friends to go, look, I know that you're giving up some good things, but you've got to bite the bullet and give up the good because you want the great. So the dreams are great, but sooner or later, you've got to pay. Everybody's got to pay for it, and then you're okay.
Right. Sacrifice. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a sacrifice. Jesus did the ultimate. He had the ultimate sacrifice, and he did it out of love, and we have to do that. The labor of love sometimes is...
Most of the time, it's time and energy and activities that I love that aren't bad at all, but they're not getting me to my relational and personal goals.
Right. So we have to say no.
I have to say. I have a principle called tie yourself to a tree.
Really? I've never heard of that one.
Well... What it means is sometimes when we don't have the willpower because, I got to meet with this person, or I want to Facebook 3 hours or whatever I do that kind of eats my time up, I have to have somebody in my life that I'm accountable to, that I will give authority to. And I've had to do this, like, when I write books. Sometimes when I get really flaky on a book and I'm doing a million speaking things or whatever,
uh-huh.
I have people that tie me to a tree, and I've given them authority over my life for a season. And they can call me anytime and say, you said you'd be right in 3 hours today, are you? No. Okay, get with it. And that's what I mean, is the tree is your friends. And the willpower and the dedication is just not enough, Sue. You've
right.
got to have people who say, I just want to check in on you.
I've experienced that firsthand without going into a lot of detail is that, you know, a long time ago, In my marriage, there was an issue, and the Lord came in and revived the marriage. And I went to church, and I said, we want to give back, and we want to be there for other married couples. So we taught, and we had marriage counseling in our home, and did all of these things because God had shown us so much, and we had been through so much that we wanted to help others that were going through similar things, and let people know that they're not alone, that these struggles are not just theirs. And it's refreshing to know that there's other people that are going through the same thing, and because the isolation disappears. And what happened was is that we were so involved in ministry and giving and feeding and watering and doing all those things that there was nobody feeding or giving replenishing us. So that whole thing that you were talking about the friendships and everything, is I went to the church and I said, we want to do this, but we need to be accountable to where we don't go back into a bad pattern, or, you know, we need to have somebody tying us to the tree. And that we kind of got missed. And so that was not a good time for us. So we had to like regroup. And so we have to realize as people that when we have these struggles, like you were saying, even for you, and I just thank God for those friends that you gave them the authority to tie you to a tree, because your books have helped so many people. And that's the bigger goal. That's the bigger good.
Well, sometimes my friends enjoyed it a little bit too much, actually.
Yeah, but you know what? I always tell my kids and I tell my friends, you know, you can always find friends that are going to tell you what you want to hear, right? You always can find those friends. It's the friends that are going to tell you what you need to hear, the friends that you want to choose and have near you.
Well, the Bible teaches in Proverbs that flattery is going to destroy you. So you don't want the flattering friends. If all you ever hear from friends is how great you are, you better put your car in reverse and get out of that driveway.
I agree, even though it hurts. Sometimes it hurts, but it's a good hurt.
Yeah, it's just like heart surgery is a good hurt. It saves your life.
Yes, yes. And just like this reflection over this last year, that might hurt too. But if we're looking towards what can we do different and how are we going to go forward? I know that I went to a counselor once and I said, just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. I want to make this better. We don't have all the answers and we're not in control of anyone else, but we do have some type of authority over our own being. We have, God gave us that to where we have freedom of choice and that freedom of choice to choose. And so we need to choose the good over the bad, and we need to choose right. And we need to choose that, okay, if this is wrong and we're looking at what was wrong and we learn from our past and we learn from those things, but we're going to go forward and we're going to be better this year and we're going to do something different because the dream or the goal or the vision that we want, we might have to sacrifice over here and maybe not do this or have that Starbucks coffee if we need more money or whatever it is. It could be just a small sacrifice that could add up being huge. Even I tell my employees, just put $5 aside. Just $5. It sounds like nothing, but just put $5 aside. And by the end of the year, look at what you've got in your bank account. Mm-hmm. It's $5 that you don't have to have that Starbucks coffee or maybe going out once a week for lunch. But that's okay because you got this money that on a rainy day, you're going to have some money in your bank account and you're going to be able to get through maybe a hard time. And that's what it's like with everything, is those sacrifices.
It's also very true. That $5 is also very true in relationships. So, we tend to not reach out when we're in need. We tend to isolate and kind of go in a cave and try to do it alone, or just pray about it to God, but not let anybody, not let Jesus with skin on around.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at that in your analogy of the $5 a week, if I go through my year, once again, not really opening myself up, not really being vulnerable, not letting anybody know my pain, not letting anybody know how helpless I feel sometimes or how sad I feel, then I'll end up the end of 2011 pretty much where I started because I don't have that $5 put away.
Mm-hmm.
But if I will begin to once a week open up to some safe people who
safe.
Love me and give me grace and encouragement and allow me to be screwed up and allow me to struggle, and every week I'm vulnerable to them, then there's this kind of magical transaction that happens that God does called a transfer of grace, and they put $5 of grace into me because I opened up. And the next week they put $5 of grace into me because I opened up. By the end of my year, I'm going to be making better choices and have a lot of goals met because I got the gas that I needed.
Right. The ultimate word that you said is you have to find safe people. That's so huge because you don't want to allow yourself to be vulnerable to people that you know are not safe. So you want to find someone that's safe, someone that loves you and doesn't judge you, someone that can be there and support you in even the ugly times.
Yeah, Henry and I wrote a book about that called Safe People, where we talk about how a safe person is somebody that when you're around them, you become more of who God meant you to be, the real you. And an unsafe person is a person that when you're around them, you lose that. Like, you ever been around somebody and you come away and you go, I just don't like myself right now. I'm more afraid, or I feel judged, or I feel like I'm pretending a lot, or I'm not really who I am. Something unsafe happened. But when you're around somebody safe, you come back going, gosh, I'm freer, and I'm more open, and I'm more honest, and I'm kind of standing up straighter. Those are the people that you got to allow those $5 deposits in.
Correct. So there's a question there with everyone listening. This is the Sue Free Show, 99.5 KKLA. And Dr. John Townsend and I are talking about, how to make this next year be better than this year and what we personally can do to evaluate and reflect and make a difference in our lives. I loved what you said about healthy. What does healthy look like, both in personal lives, our careers? You said three different places. You have personal performance and?
Personal performance and relationships.
Relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So those three.
You kind of covered your life. Those are the big fruit of life. If those three things are happening well, then you're kind of in the right place.
And the gauge for people that are safe is how you feel when you're with them. If you feel better and you feel good about who you are when you're with them, then those are probably good people to be with.
Well, now, I'm going to say something kind of strange. I'm a psychologist, so I'm a feeling person.
Okay.
But sometimes a good friend should make us feel bad. Because I don't believe in always them making us feel better. I think that they need to make us be better.
We have a caller that, I don't know if they're on the air, but the question was, how can he determine what a safe person is?
Well, in the book we list about 15 character traits, but let me give you kind of the quick and dirty.
Okay.
One is that they want you to be the person God designed. They don't want to control you or fix you or change you. They want you to be who God designed. They're for you. The second is that they value the relationship above anything you can do. It's the connection piece. It's not how useful you are to them. It's not how smart you are or how much money you have or whether you are a good listener. They love you, and they're just for you. They just want the connection with you.
Alejandro, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. So is this helping?
Hello?
Hi.
Yes, hi. My name is Alejandro.
Yes, and so you had the question. So John's going through them right now. So are you writing them down or are you just listening?
I'm listening.
Okay.
Hi, Alejandro.
Hi, Dr. John Townsend.
Can you give me a context for why you're asking the question?
Yes, well, in my experience, when I open up with people, let's say in small groups, there's people who just feel repelled. They don't want to get involved in the issues you're going through. But there's also other people who understand and they reach out and they accept you and they give you praise, acceptance. Even then, I guess you say the spark notes still come up.
Yeah, well, actually, it sounds like you understand. So tell me how I can help, because it sounds like you already get it. What do you need to know from me?
Well, yeah, I guess it's just a matter of sharing and then experiencing people as we go.
You mean, you were wanting to know if I knew a way to never open yourself up to crazy people?
No, actually, that's not what I meant. What I meant is...
Because we can't, right?
Right, we can't, absolutely. But you know how you have your book on safe people, and you explain how to, you know, you go through the whole book, and I'm just wondering if you have steps to follow.
You mean the steps that are not already in the book?
Yeah.
Well, the book has the steps in them, so that's there. But I can kind of summarize that, if that would help.
Okay.
I believe that, number one, God designed people for people. And so the kind of on the blue sky level, the ideal level, go find a really healthy church that preaches grace as well as the truth of the Bible and has no condemnation in it, and you hear no condemnation but just good truth and love from the pulpit. And that kind of church, if it has a small group ministry, jump into the small group ministry. You mentioned that you've been in small groups.
Yes.
So the best possible is a bunch of people who are on the same page spiritually, who will never condemn you and tell you the truth and love you and that sort of thing. Now, there are some times where there's been some damage that we have from the past, family of origin issues or character issues or abuse or whatever, that maybe a small group is not enough because the wounds we have are too deep. So we need to have not only the safe people in our lives in a small group in a good church, but we have to find a coach or a counselor or a mentor to do the healing parts.
Okay.
Then the other piece I tell people who say, well, you know, I'm not around a healthy church or whatever, I'll tell them, look, go get your computer and your contact list, Outlook. You know, Outlook's got, you know, I think the average in America of your Outlook contents is, I don't know, 700 or so. And I've had people, especially men, who don't have a lot of relationships, go spend a couple of hours and go through, look at every name on that contact list, and you'll probably come out with 20 people that you'll think, you know, I don't know them well, but they're nice and they're kind. And when I talk about struggle, they move toward me, and they don't get turned off by me. They don't change the subject. They don't talk about themselves all day. They really care. And out of those 20 people, I'll tell them, go call them and say, I would just like somebody to unpack life with. What do you think? Can we go to Starbucks? And people come back and they'll say, you know, I called them, and four of them called me back and said, I'd love to, and now we're getting together regularly. And I say that, Alejandro, because people like you would love to be around people of grace. We are dying to find people of grace, and that's how we do it.
Amen. I agree.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much, Dr. Townsend.
Sure.
So that's great. So that's how you figure out if someone's safe. You know, my son is a very kind of quiet kind of guy, and I would love for him to have...
Kind of takes after you?
No.
That was a joke.
I know. But I would love for him to find some relationships, you know, some guys that are...
How old is he?
He's 28. He's very athletic. He loves to motorcycle ride, and he just loves to do a lot of things, like me. But he's very quiet, and when he talks, he has something to say. He doesn't like he's uncomfortable with people that talk a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, like he'll say, "Mom, can you stop talking in paragraphs?"
That might be my new favorite line.
Isn't that funny?
Can you stop talking in paragraphs.
Yes, because he needs one-liners. You know, he cracks me up. He's just really a great guy. Really a great guy. Great heart. But I just really would love for him to really invest and get some really good friends. Friends his age, friends that, you know, are Christians that, you know, love the Lord.
What does he do with his time that should be spent in relationships? What's he filling it up with?
Work. He's a hardworking guy. He bought a house. He has two English Mastiff dogs that are like horses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then he's dating. And that's about all he does. He's got a job that he works like weird hours.
Does he have an experienced need for male friends, or does he say, "I don't need them"?
I think he does need them. I think he's kind of attached himself to one person, but it's an adult, and I just think he needs to find some guys his own age.
28 is adult.
Well, I mean adult. We have to go, but I really would love to figure out what to do to help him with relationships. So maybe
we'll have coffee with him.
Okay. Hey, that sounds wonderful. Well, we're almost done, so why don't you give a commercial for your books or how someone can get in touch or whatever?
Sure. The website is drtownsend.com, like drtownsend.com.
Uh-huh.
And all the books are on there. The newest book is Now What Do I Do? And it can be reached anywhere through Zondervan or the website, these places. And I do a lot of leadership, corporate coaching and consulting, and have practices and programs here in the Southern California area. And you can reach them through Dr. Townsend, too.
Thank you so much. And you know what? I just thank you so much for investing in me. You have supported me, and I just really appreciate your time. I know you're a busy guy, and you've just been really special, and I just really, really want to say thank you. And this is a time to give thanks. And I don't think we do that enough as individuals. I don't think we take the time to give thanks enough. And so for those listening, I just recommend highly that you take the time to say thank you. And, you know, Ecola, my company, we answer the phone with, thank you so much for calling. And I just think it's important to say thank you. So, Dr. John Townsend, I'm saying thank you to you. It's been great, John, having you on, and I appreciate your insight and input. And I thank all of you for listening. And until next Saturday, you know, I don't know. What do I say? Just reflect and move on. Let's make a plan and work our plan and have a better year next year. God bless.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
Are raising insurance premiums making it unaffordable to offer quality benefits to your employees? Well, before you throw in the towel on providing affordable employee benefits, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services, the benefits specialist. Denon Simpson saved her clients over $4 million in premiums last year while offering extra benefits like heart scans, stroke scans, even chair massages. Let your employees know how much you appreciate them by offering them a comprehensive benefits package that's easy to manage and affordable. Denon Simpson serves companies throughout Southern California. Clients like Make-A-Wish, A American Self-Storage, the Foursquare Denomination, and ministries around the world. They love an opportunity to save your company thousands too, while providing a culture of wellness and safety. If you're responsible for the health and safety of your employees, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services today at 818-676-0044. That's Denon Simpson Insurance Services for a free evaluation. 818-676-0044. Denon Simpson, the benefit specialist.
Ah, it's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.